NPR.
Katie Milkman is a professor of operations, information, and decisions at Wharton, and the author of this book, How to Change, The Science of Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And she says when news of the COVID vaccine first broke and everyone was talking about cold storage supply chains and transportation issues, she and her team of behavioral scientists and economists immediately thought of something else.
We looked at each other and we said, there's one other thing you aren't thinking about. We have to convince people to take them. So we built sort of the biggest study that I think has ever been done quite quickly on figuring out what kind of messaging would be most effective on vaccination.
Katie's team decided they were going to put together this study. They got together with Walmart, Northeast Penn Medicine, and Geisinger Health, partnering with thousands of doctors and pharmacies all across the country, reaching more than 700,000 patients. And they used text messages to test out different kinds of messaging and incentives to see how effective different things were at getting people to go and get their flu shot.
We tested literally dozens of messages, encouraging people to do it to protect the other people that they loved rather than out of self-interest, trying jokes, like makes it more lighthearted and they're more likely to do it.
Do you remember what the joke was?
It was a dog. Well, we had a couple versions of it, but the joke was basically, have you heard the one about the flu? Don't spread it around.
That's cute. Right now, Katie's research is super relevant as businesses and legislators all over the country are trying different things to encourage people to get vaccinated. And this week, the governor of Ohio announced a plan where vaccinated teens in the state could be eligible for free college tuition. And vaccinated adults will be entered into a lottery.
And the winner each Wednesday will receive $1 million.
That's right. Getting a vaccine in Ohio could make you a millionaire. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, what works? How do you get people to get a vaccine? Does the carrot approach work better or the stick?
This message comes from NPR sponsor Microsoft Teams, helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. When the pandemic hit, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now people worldwide can come into their showroom. More at Microsoft.com/Teams. This message comes from NPR sponsor Deloitte, offering insights and strategies for solving for the complex challenges that workers, companies, and governments face as we all look to reopen and recover. Online at Deloitte.com/US/COVID-19.
So before we got to the whole vaccine issue, I had a general question for Wharton's Katie Milkman. When it comes to sort of carrots versus sticks, what tends to be more effective when you're trying to incentivize people?
The general finding from behavioral economics is that losing something is significantly more motivating than gaining the equivalent.
Sticks.
So sticks beat carrots in terms of their motivational power. Now, there are some caveats to that.
Caveats like the stick approach, while effective, can make people really angry, which is not ideal if you are a company or a politician. In fact, Katie recalls one experiment from a Michigan primary election in 2006 trying to encourage people to vote. Researchers sent out mailers that included the voting records of people and their neighbors. It was kind of like a shame strategy.
So they're finding out if you've showed up, just as you can see if they've showed up. And we're going to update everyone in the neighborhood on who comes to this election. So you'd better go or your neighbors will find out you didn't. And that one piece of junk mail increased voter turnout by 8 percentage points, which is like the most unbelievable effect that anything has ever had. People were so, so angry about this, right? Absolutely infuriated. So it was effective, but it had massive blowback.
So the stick approach is tricky, especially when it comes to something like a vaccine. But the carrot approach is tricky too, says Katie. In fact, certain carrots can backfire, like having the wrong person encourage someone to get a vaccine shot can make that person less likely to get the shot. And in the case of paying people to get the vaccine, the amount of money seems to be key. Katie says there are these studies that have shown that smaller amounts of money can backfire. So where paying people $100 to get a vaccine might work and get more people to get vaccinated, paying people $20 can actually discourage people from getting a vaccine.
Small payments can convey to people some sense that there's a higher risk in whatever activity is being encouraged, or else, like, why would you need to pay me to do it? And so I do think sort of small payments can be risky.
Aon, the insurance and financial services giant, went the carrot route. It did not opt for cash, though, and that's probably good because that would have gotten very expensive. How many employees do you guys have?
Roughly 50,000 globally in about 120 countries.
Really? That's like a city. Kelly Clark is head of culture and change at Aon. She says the company wanted to encourage workers to get a vaccine, so they did research and asked workers what was keeping them from getting vaccinated. One of the things they heard? Worries about side effects. So Aon offered workers who got vaccinated 2 days off per shot. Kelly would not say if that actually caused more workers to get the vaccine, but she did say the approach has been really popular.
If you're choosing and debating about how you're going to manage getting your work done, delivering on your work commitments, and also receiving the vaccine, we want to help you in that. And so it's been met with real gratitude.
Katie Milkman at Wharton has been watching all of these different approaches companies and governments are taking with great interest. See what works, what doesn't. In her study, she says, the findings were not at all what she expected. The least effective approach, for instance, was this kind of cool kids are doing it text message. That did not work.
What I think was people who are wealthier and better educated are more likely to get vaccines. So you should too. So we thought, you know, like saying, don't you want to be in this identity group? People did not like that.
But peer pressure was effective in a different form, like talking about just how many people were getting the vaccine.
Yeah, like you should come to the party. Everybody else is coming. That often works. But another thing that jumped out was it's good to nag people. So sometimes we message them once and sometimes twice.
So nagging is a big one.
Nagging is good.
And the joke? Remember, have you heard the one about the flu, don't spread it around?
I thought that was so cute. It would capture people's attention, make them laugh, like relieve a little bit of the stress. And I think that was one of the worst performers.
Katie says, though, one message stood out way above the rest. It was far and away more effective than any other method at getting people to get a flu shot. It was not a carrot or a stick.
The top performing message simply communicated that a vaccine has been reserved for you. So it was a very simple, very dry message, like none of the cute back and forth that we were so hoping would be effective, but this very clinical, we've set one aside, it's reserved for you, come and get it.
Why is that? Like, why? What's going on in our little heads?
So there's a lot of things that happen when there's sort of a default. That's what an economist would call this, a default, is there's an assumption that this is what's recommended by the policymaker who's sending this to me. And if that's someone I trust, then I think, oh, you're like telling me to get it and you're making it really easy. I don't have to lift a finger to go to that website that's been set up where I can find an appointment by typing my zip code. You'd think that's a really small price to pay, but this is, people are really lazy and this is much easier. It's already been arranged for me and I don't have to think about anything. I just have to be there. And by the way, I'm going to feel like a jerk if I don't show up because you scheduled me for an appointment. So I'm canceling on someone now.
Oh.
So there's all of this psychology that seems like it's probably playing into the effectiveness of these tactics.
Katie says some companies are doing things like this and bringing vaccines to the office, offering them to workers on site. Still, she says no one approach is going to work on anyone. So she says it's good that different places are trying different things because you just never know what's going to speak to people. She says, you know, the smallest nudge can make a difference where a huge push will fail. For instance, Krispy Kreme, which offers people free donuts if they show them their vaccine card.
My favorite Twitter post of Lane was someone saying he thought it was garbage and then his uncle said that's what did it for him.
Really? A guy said his uncle like got vaccinated because he wanted a free donut?
It's daily. You get a free donut every day.
Free donut, so much better than a carrot. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin with help from Gilly Moon. It was fact-checked by Sam Tsai. The Indicator is edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.
Today, it seems like everybody's got a bone to pick with the news. So what happens when somebody stops talking smack and just decides to wage all-out war?
First thing you do in an invasion, you eliminate the communications of the enemy.
And what happens if they win? Visit Stockton, California, for a story about a revolt against the mainstream media that's shaken up a city. From NPR's Invisibilia.